Good afternoon. I am Archdeacon Steve West, the parish priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. Welcome to Reflection on this 20th Sunday after Pentecost. We use the Old Testament lesson, Epistle and Gospel for proper 24, year A. Welcome. Our readings today are taken from Isaiah chapter 45, verses 1 to 7, Psalm 96, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 to 10, and the Gospel of Matthew chapter 22, verses 15 to 22. Let us pray. The Lord is here and we will praise him. The Lord is here and we will worship him. The Lord is here and we will trust him. The Lord is here and we will honor him. The Lord is here and he has called us to give him all the glory. Amen. Lord, we are your people, not because we are worthy, but by your grace alone. We are your people who have come in joy and thanksgiving. We are your people and we have come to praise you. We are your people and we have come to give you the worship you deserve. We are your people and we have come in the name of Jesus. Amen. pray the collect for proper 24, followed by the collect for St. Luke, which is celebrated on the 18th of October, and then our parish prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, in Christ you have revealed your glory among the nations. Preserve the works of your mercy, that your church throughout the world may persevere with steadfast faith in the confession of your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, you have inspired your servant Luke, the physician, to set forth in the gospel the love and healing power of your Son. Graciously continue in your church this love and power to heal, and to the praise and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our parish prayer. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness. All to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, The Things That Are God's. The Things That Are God's. Having been exposed by Jesus to positive, challenging teaching about the kingdom of God in three parables, the parable of the two sons, Matthew 21, verses 28 to 32, the parable of the vineyard, Matthew 21, 33 to 44, and the parable of the wedding banquet, Matthew 22, verses 1 to 15, the Pharisees increased their resolve to entrap Jesus. They intend to get him to say something that will enable them to say that he was preaching revolt against their Roman captors, and therefore accuse him of treason before the Roman governor. In order to achieve their goal, in our gospel for today, from Matthew 22, verses 15 to 22, we have the first of three questions which they pose to Jesus. They sent a group of their disciples, plus the Herodians, loyalists to the Herod dynasty, to Jesus. This group began by trying to flatter him, or as we would say, mamagay him. Teacher, they say, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. That was their introduction, trying to disarm Jesus with flattery, excessive and insincere praise. Then comes the question, tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? This was intended to be a trick question. The tax mentioned was the annual head tax that every adult male was expected to pay as tribute to Rome. The tax was a denarius, which amounted to a single day's wage for the average day laborer. The Jews hated this tax for two reasons. First, it was a perennial reminder of their subjugation and of Roman occupation. Secondly, the tax had to be paid using a Roman coin, the denarius, which bore the emperor's image and an inscription that attributed divine status to the emperor. The second commandment outlawed the use of graven images by the Jews, and the emperor's claim to divinity was regarded by them as idolatry. Jesus, aware of their devious intent, responds, "Show me the coin used for the tax." They brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then Jesus said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." His response raised more questions than they were willing to face. Matthew says they were amazed, and they left him and went away. We believe that they had many more questions, but they could not respond to his wisdom. Give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's. And so the question arises, what things are the emperor's? The emperor and anyone in authority holds that position by God's grace and mercy. In our Old Testament reading from Isaiah 45, verses 1 to 7, God has placed the king of Persia, Cyrus, as ruler over the southern kingdom of Judah. In the book of Ezra, chapter 1, verse 2, Cyrus himself states, "The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth." We must understand, by whatever means one comes to power and authority, an individual is able to govern only by God's grace and mercy. For God has a plan and a purpose for God's people. All rulers, be they emperor, monarch, president, or prime minister, must recognize and acknowledge that they hold their position by the grace of God. Those who are governed must also acknowledge that earthly rulers, good or bad, do so by God's grace and mercy. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, chapter 13, verses 6 and 7, affirms this. Paul writes, "You also pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servant. Pay to all what is due to them, taxes to whom taxes are due, revenue to whom revenue is due, respect to whom respect is due, honor to whom honor is due. Even as we are called as disciples of Christ to pay taxes and revenue, to respect and honor those in authority, we are also to recognize and acknowledge a higher authority. Everything belongs to God. Therefore, we have a higher allegiance, and that is to God. If what is requested by the human authority is unjust, as disciples of Christ, we are to seek by legitimate means to resist or transform unjust structures, regulations, and laws in society. If the structures, regulations, and laws are not in keeping with God's law of love, then we must seek to remove them. whenever we have to make a choice as disciples of Christ, we must be guided by the law of God. That is, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. While the law of earthly leaders may sometimes be unjust, God's law is always true and brings out the best in all of us. As Christians, as disciples of Christ today, we are to recognize and obey the laws of the state and those in authority. However, we must always remember that we are bound to a higher authority whom we must obey above all else. We are to give to God what belongs to God. What do we possess that belongs to God? Our life. We are called to dedicate our life, our gifts, our intellect and skills to the service of God. We serve God best by serving each other with love. The psalmist in our psalm today, Psalm 96, sets before us our obligation to God. The psalmist writes, "Sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be revered above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens." The psalmist concludes in verse 10. "Say among the nations, the Lord is King." As disciples of Christ, we are called to give honor and respect that is due to our earthly leaders, for God has placed them in their positions. But no one should take the place of God in our lives. The Lord is King, and we give God all the honor, glory, service, praise, thanksgiving that is due to God, the Creator of the universe. Amen. Let us pray. O God, Almighty Father, King of kings and Lord of all rulers, grant that the hearts and minds of all who go out as leaders before us, the statesmen, the judges, the men of learning, and the men of wealth, may be so filled with the love of your laws and of that which is righteous and life-giving, that they may serve as a wholesome salt unto the earth and be worthy stewards of your good and perfect gifts through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. King of kings and Lord of lords, we pray today for statesmen, leaders, and rulers. May they be quiet in spirit, clear in judgment, able to understand the issues that face them. May they think often of the common people on whose behalf they must speak and act. May they remember that in keeping your laws is man's only good and happiness. Grant them patience, give them courage, grant them foresight and great faith. In their anxiety, be thou their security. In their opportunities, be thou their inspiration. By their plans and their actions, may your kingdom come and your will be done. Amen. Almighty God, from whom all thoughts of truth and peace proceed, kindle, we pray you, in the hearts of all men and women, the true love of peace, and guide by your pure and peaceable wisdom those who take counsel for the nations of the earth, that in tranquility your kingdom may go forward, till the earth is filled with the knowledge of your love, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we say the prayer our Savior Christ himself taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. Let us pray. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward, save that of knowing we do your will, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And in that service, we invite God to make us instruments of God's peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace this day and always. Amen. And so we invite you this week to test positive for faith, keep distance from doubt, isolate from fear, and trust God. We pray that you will have a productive and spiritually rewarding week, and we invite you to be safe.